The following audio is from Life Journey Church. More information about Life Journey Church is available at www.lifejourneyva.com.
Good morning, everybody. Such a blessing to be here. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and share a few thoughts with this group of saints. Really appreciate the opportunity to spread the good news. Let's just briefly pray one more time. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit and the authority that I have in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that there would be an impartation of revelation today. Let the Spirit of God speak. May we have ears to hear, eyes to see. May that which is not of this world be revealed, that we might see the unseen and come to know you as you really are. Thank you, Father, for the reality of your presence in each one of us who have believed. For who can know the thoughts of God but the Spirit of God? And who can teach us but the Spirit? For we need no man teach us, but the anointing which abides within each one of us shall lead us into all truth, and we shall abide in you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. I want to share some thoughts, I guess, initially about the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus first started his ministry, the very first thing that he said in terms of the beginning of the public ministry, he said, change your mind, or repent, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand or within reach. He said both, at hand or within reach. And many times I think we think of that word, we see that word repent, and really most of us, we default to thinking he's talking about sin, because the word repent has been so associated with sin that we think Jesus is saying, stop sinning, God is here, behave, because God's about to do something. But he was not saying that at all. The word repent just means to change your mind. Just change your mind. Take your definition of repentance and put it where the scripture says God repented. I mean, if you think repentance means to turn away from evil, turn away from sin, and walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand or whatever, then God repented just doesn't fit. God stopped doing sin, God stopped sinning, God turned over a new leaf. But God did change his mind about Nineveh. God repented and did not destroy Nineveh. See, it just means to change your mind. I encourage the saints to start using that word repent in everyday conversation to kind of take out the religious connotation to it. Like if you want to go out and have lunch and if you were thinking about going to McDonald's, say, you know, I was going to go to McDonald's, but I repented. And I'm going to go to a steakhouse instead. Start using it like that. People go, what? Yeah. I was going to buy this car, but I repented. I'm going to buy that car. See? That's all it means. So Jesus comes on the scene and he says, change your mind. Now, if someone says, change your mind, the next thing he says is what he's talking about. That's what he's referring to. He didn't say, change your mind. Sin is not good for you. See? He didn't say anything about sin. He said, change your mind. And the next thing that someone says after they say, change your mind, is what he wants you to change your mind about. That makes sense? So he comes on the scene. The Lord comes on the scene. He goes, change your mind. In a sense, he's saying this. Change your mind. You thought the kingdom was far, far away in the future, yet to come. You thought the kingdom was far, far up in heaven, out of reach. Change your mind. The kingdom of heaven is now at hand. Here, now. The kingdom of heaven is within reach. You see it? The awesome good news of the kingdom of heaven was an awesome proclamation that the heaven you seek, the eternal city whose foundations are made by God that Abraham sought, has now come. It is here on earth. It's coming to you. You couldn't get there yourself. I couldn't get there myself. The Lord's good news of the kingdom of heaven, is that it's coming. It was in him in all fullness, and it would be in them after he finished his work. He said, the truth is among you, speaking of himself, the truth is among you, it shall be in you, after he finished his work. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is not coming like men think, for it shall be within you. It shall come within you. The Apostle Paul said, the kingdom of God is in the Spirit within the believer. Righteousness and peace and joy is the realm of the heavens. Heaven within us is another's righteousness, another's peace, another's joy within. Awesome. Awesome good news. So this is the proclamation. And what the Lord was saying, this is what's so cool about this. If you ask most believers, what do they think the kingdom of heaven is? Or how would you define the kingdom of heaven? You get sometimes definitions like, well, I believe the kingdom of heaven is the king ruling. You've got to have a king and a kingdom, so it must be the king ruling on earth. It's all about him ruling and having his will. For the scripture says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so thy kingdom come. So I think the kingdom is about him ruling. And there's some truth to that. Or you may have someone say, I think the kingdom of heaven, I think kingdom living is when we get Christians into politics, we get Christians on the school board, we get Christians in the earth and in the places of influence, so we can be the salt and the light. And there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. But God showed me this. He said, think about the kingdom, because all those things are byproducts of the real reality of the kingdom, of what the kingdom's all about, really. God showed me to think about it like this. Well, first, let me say this. He showed me that if we don't think right about the kingdom as he sees it, as he thinks, we're like a train trying to run on the ground without a track. And we'll try to piece together spiritual truths, and it becomes this hodgepodge of different things, and we're trying to understand it. But when we see that the kingdom of heaven is a parallel world, another world, another reality that you can live in now in the Spirit as you walk the earth. When you see that he has literally brought you through the door, himself being the door, when you see that you have literally been translated from the kingdom of this darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son now, not when your body dies, but now, when you see that you now walk the earth as a creature of two realms like the Son of God, when you see you walk the earth as having been born from above, yet in the world, in the earth, but not of it, when you see that there's a whole different reality he has brought us into, another world, a whole new world, where God has become your papa, where sin is no longer counted against you, where his righteousness is counted for you, where his peace is now your peace, not as this world gives, but as he gives from his world, where his joy is your joy, not as the joy that this world gives, but his joy from his world. This is huge. I mean, this is huge. He framed the issue at the very beginning. Behold, I bring you a new reality. Think not that it's some way off in the future. Think not you cannot reach for it in the heavens. Change your mind. The kingdom of heaven has come. I'm bringing you a whole different world on earth that you can step into and enjoy and enjoy and be this and experience this new reality. The word truth in the Greek, actually means the reality. The reality. Truth in the Greek, when we read truth, it's not talking about being honest. That's a good thing. That's a fruit of the Spirit, being honest. But that's not what he's talking about there. He's talking about the reality. The law came by Moses. The law came by Moses. Jesus said, in your law, in your world, see, he talked about the law. It's not even part of him. It was part of you and part of this world. In your law, in your world, this is said, see. The law came by Moses for natural men. Law was for natural men. But grace and truth came by Jesus. Grace and the reality of which the law was a shadow of the good thing to come with the priesthood and the sacrifices in the temple. So, and Jesus told Pilate, he said, this is a very powerful statement. He said, Pilate, for this purpose, the Son of Man has come, that I might bear witness to the reality. Powerful statement. Just before he was condemned, he said, I have come to bear witness to the truth, to the reality of who God is and everything. The reality. So in him, he has brought us into this world, this new world, his world. And it's only found in the Spirit. No man can see this kingdom of heaven, this realm, without being born of the Spirit. You can't see this invisible reality, this parallel world, unless you're born of the Spirit, Jesus said. See it? You see what he says there? That's what he's saying there. He says, you cannot see this invisible reality. You cannot understand this parallel world, this parallel universe that has come to earth unless you're born of the Spirit. That's how you enter. For through your faith in him, through your faith in Jesus, all your sins, all my sins have been taken away. Past, present, future. For every sin we commit was future when he died 2,000 years ago. The work of Christ is so astounding. It catapults you into another reality. It catapults you into a place where you go, oh my God, I really am a son, a daughter of the living God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Why haven't I heard this before? Why haven't I seen this before? It's a whole new way of thinking. Now, if this is true, there ought to be pictures in the scriptures of the prophets of this parallel world, this parallel reality, because this is huge. I mean, this is what God came to do, to bring us into union with himself. And let me just say here briefly that the purpose behind this, the purpose behind what God is doing and God did, is this, very simply this. God loves you and me so much that he wants you to be with him. Always. That's it. That's it. I go to prepare a place for you that you may be where I am. And at some point in this conference, we're going to talk about how that is not a mansion he's building in the sky. He's not working on a mansion for 2,000 years. Yet we still sing that way, and we talk that way, and we teach that way, but it's not even close to the reality that he's talking about there. But his heart is that we might be where he is. The one thing he said to the thief on the cross, who believed, he pushed up with great pain with nails in his feet so he could breathe and speak. And his heart at that moment was, truly, truly, I say to you, this day shall be with me in paradise. You see his heart? To be with us, for us to be with him. Greatest love story ever. For he cherishes and nourishes his bride. For God seeks a bride that they might be one, that we might always be where he is. Not just when our body dies. That's the awesomeness of this good news. Behold, kingdom is here. Access is here. We have bold access, the scripture says, bold access to the throne of God, the throne of grace, to find help and mercy in time of need. For by one Spirit we have access to the Father through the Son now. I mean, this is awesome. You walk the earth as a living stone of the true temple that he raised in 3 days. The presence abides within your body. Know ye not that the Holy Spirit, the presence, is within your body? It's awesome. And the mind is being renewed to this reality as we see who we are and grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You know what that means, faith to faith and glory to glory? What I think that means is that as the mind is being renewed, and by the way, that's the only process in the Christian life. There's no process of getting more and more holy. There's no process of getting more and more righteous. There's no process of becoming more and more a son of God. There's no process of being more and more sanctified. There's no process for those things. Those things are true in him. For Christ has been made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He himself, by union with him, as he is, so am I in this world now. As he is, so am I in this world now, the scripture says. Not when I die. So all those things, the Christian life is not a process about any of those things. It's a reality. It's the truth. It's the real. But what is the process? Is the renewal of the mind. It's your mind catching up to what is. To what already is. The mind must catch up to what already is. It's like Jacob, who woke from his dream. And Jacob, who is a picture of the new man. Esau, a picture of the old man. Circumcised or cut away from the new man. Esau, the old man of the flesh. Jacob, the new man of the new creation. The new man must awaken. Jacob, the new man, awakens from a dream and he says, oh my God. God is in this place. And I knew it not. This is none other than the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. See it? That's why it's recorded there. We can study the life of Jacob, and you can see what you and I as a new creation need to see. It's awesome. It's all written there, all hidden. All hidden and only revealed by those who believe on the Jesus of Nazareth and his finished work of grace. Because grace opens the door. I was sharing this with Jim on the way over here. I'll just insert it here real quick. But seeing these unseen realities and seeing the other realm and living as a son and daughter from that realm, knowing, as Jesus said, we're no longer from below but from above. As Walt prayed, Jerusalem above is our mother now, our origin, where we're from. Seeing these things is the key to seeing these things is to see that your sin is no longer being counted against you by God. This is a hard thing for some people to believe. It's counterintuitive to the natural mind. to see into the unseen by revelation of these, and to experience the heavenly things themselves and not just copies of the heavenly things, which so many church people are into the copies of the heavenly things, they cannot break into the heavenly things themselves within. The more you see stained glass windows and buildings and things in the visible that are being built up by men, the more they are enthralled with the robes and all that, the more they're enthralled with the copies of the heavenly things and not the heavenly things themselves. The more you live in the unseen realm, the more the seen doesn't take on any kind of religious look. The less you live in the unseen realm, the more religious you look and act and do. Because you're living by the copies and not the heavenly things themselves. But the key to seeing and the unseen reality is this whole thing about sin. It's all about sin. But not like we think. It really is all about sin. I mean, the whole thing is, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The secret to seeing is to believe that He really did it. Jesus said, when I return to earth, shall I find faith on the earth? Shall I find faith? He didn't say, when I return to earth, shall I find the church without spot, without wrinkle, and being obedient? And no, He said, when I return, shall I find anybody who believed that I did it? That I really did it? That I really did it? The Scripture says in Hebrews 10:20, chapter 10, verse 20, that the veil in the temple was actually a picture of the body of Jesus. Awesome verse. Awesome verse. Hebrews 10:20. The very veil in the temple was a picture of the flesh and blood body of Jesus. Hebrews says, thou hast prepared a body for me that I might offer it. What God is saying there, saints, is that when Jesus, when His body was broken, His blood was shed, when He offered up His body, and the temple, the veil of the temple rent in two from top to bottom, God is saying this. First, let me ask you this. What's a veil all about? A veil hides something. You can't see past it. Veils are all about hiding something beyond it, where you can't see it. You can't see it. Veil, remember Moses' face shone as he was speaking to God? But it was fading, so he put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not see his face fading. So veils are all about keeping you from seeing on the other side of the veil. So what God did, He put together the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the tearing of the veil as one event. It is when you and I fully grasp and receive that my sin is no longer being counted against me that I see. God said this. He said, they all shall know me, which is like seeing Him. They all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Why? What's the key, God, to knowing you? Because I will be merciful to all their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. You see it? Those who believe the simple truth that the God of all grace has taken away the sin of the world, taken away my sin, my personal sin, my past, my present, my future of sin and failure. Those who simply receive the word of God that He has done it. The Lamb who sits upon the throne. Those who recognize and honor His word as the highest word. Not my conscience, not another man, not another religion, not this world, but I honor and recognize God's word as supreme and above all other words. For the Lamb was slain and yet lives again and sits upon the throne. The final word about your sin, the final word about your sin and my sin is that it has been taken away. And those who grasp and believe and receive and eat His body and drink His blood. See, that's what that is all about. The covenant meal is all about remembering Him and specifically Him taking away our sin. This is my body which is broken for you for the remission of sin. This is my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. And that's a whole different subject. Hopefully we can touch base on that. But most believers gather around the covenant meal and eat the bread and drink the wine, and they remember their sins. They're told to remember their sins. They're told to confess all their sins before eating the bread and drinking the wine. They're supposed to be, they're told to be sin conscious so that we can get all those sins under the blood. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Even the Passover meal was, for the Jew, was a time of celebration. And Jesus fulfilled that Passover meal 1,000 times exponentially. So we could celebrate, oh my God, not only was a nation born in a day, Israel through the Red Sea, the blood on the doorpost, celebrating the Passover. God passed over us. Judgment passed over us. That's where the word Passover comes from. Judgment passed us over because he saw the blood of a lamb on the doorpost. Door. And now the door is sitting here with bread and wine and saying, eat and drink of this. This is my body. This is my blood. This is not literally, because he was sitting there, but he's saying, this is a picture of the reality. Do this in remembrance of me. Take it by faith. Take it by faith. The covenant meal is powerful. It's powerful.
Thank you for listening to this message from Life Journey Church. Feel free to distribute this podcast, but please do not charge for it or alter it in any way. For more information about Life Journey Church, visit us at www.lifejourneyva.com.